Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
God's word engages us this morning in our gospel reading. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bear, and the bearer stood still. And he said to the young man, "I say to you, young man, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Thank you for allowing me to share in the joy of this day, your 125th anniversary. Not very many congregation plants make it 10 years. Most close by 20. And here you are, persevering in the Lord, 125 years. Certainly a reason to celebrate God's grace. I looked into this congregation a little bit, the information on your website. The formation of what is now Our Savior Lutheran Church is a fascinating one. From a beginning by a congregation who wanted to do something very liberal at the time. Worship in English and not German. Wow. To the merger of an African-American congregation and a white congregation. Extremely unusual for that time. So, Our Savior, you have much to celebrate from the get-go. When you have a congregation of Our Savior's age, you're probably sitting in the very pews occupied by some of your ancestors. Just run your hand along that wood right beside you. Here have sat your great-grandparents, grandparents, your parents, now you, your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even, God willing, your great-grandchildren have sat there. You are touching the pews occupied by faithful down through history and are very much in that way connected to them. Looking back, celebrating, giving thanks, sharing life as disciples together. Think about the number of births that have been announced in this congregation. New children that God, with which God has blessed this world and families. Think of the miracle of baptism, where God, through water and the word, claimed that child to be his own, and blessed that child with the cross, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, with eternal life. Think of how many years and how many children have sat in the Sunday school here, learn the stories. Adam and Eve. The flood. Abraham. Moses. Jesus. Paul. John's apocalypse. Think about the children confirmed. Perhaps you, in this front of this very sanctuary, where you were questioned. Remember that? The questioning? Think of all the children since then who have been confirmed here, have moved on from childish faith to childlike faith. Think of all the new families that were created here, the marriages, the weddings, the celebrating as God took two and made them one and established his cross at the center of their house. Think of celebrating all of the new members, adult members, who have come to you through the ages, whom God has grafted into this vine of Christ growing here people of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Of course, you can think back to dinners too. All those church dinners you have cooked and you have served and you have eaten. And probably all the Jell-O molds if you're Lutheran. All the coffee that you have shared together. Or this morning as we studied God's Word together with Pastor McLean. How many people have sat there and had God's Word brought to them by faithful pastors and teachers down through the years? Reaching out into your community, a place where darkness abides and needs the light of Christ and the love of God. Think of all the Sundays you've sat in here to share together the divine service, preserving a historic liturgy that connects you with Christians through thousands of years, connecting you with the customs that have come along and taught the faith so well through the millennium. Lifting your voices to God in song, sacred song passed down to us. Advent candles, Christmas trees, Epiphany stars, and those somber Lent journeys to where Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, standing with Him at the foot of the cross on Good Friday, and of course, the celebration of Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. The times through this 125 years where we have celebrated with each other, where we have wept with each other, where we have joy with each other and have mourned, where we have said, see you later, to those who have ended their pilgrimage and gone to heaven ahead of us. We have hope. We will see them again because of Christ. So much love, so much mercy, so much grace shared as God's people hear our Savior. So much for which to give God thanks and praise. So many reasons to celebrate. And looking back, it's easy to celebrate, isn't it? It's easy to give thanks. It's easy to have that joy. It's when we turn around and look to the future that, well, and you by far are not the only one who are looking into the future and saying, what is ahead for us? All of our city congregations are doing the same thing, even your brothers and sisters at Emmanuel. What will become of us now? What does our future hold? It's kind of like Abraham, who was told to get up and go by God, but not told where he was going. Just trust me. I know where. Go. Our Savior has touched thousands of lives in the past, but what about touching lives in its future? Will it really matter at all if there is not another LCMS congregation sitting on this plot of land, or any other Christian denomination for that matter, sitting on this plot of land in the future? With your brothers and sisters at Emmanuel, we say, we are few and we are poor, at least our budget is. What difference can we make anymore? What lives might we touch? And then we hear the Lord's word to us. The Lord's answer to our doubts is much and many. Our doubts about ourselves and our doubts about God's ability, Jesus answers in a powerful way through His means of grace. A brush with death changes you. People say they come away from that brush with death and life looks different. Things that have been so important now seem so trivial. And other things we have paid so much attention to, well, now they don't seem to be that much. This morning, our Lord is changing our perspective on life because he is bringing us past a brush with death. This is not a brush with death where the person was ill and got better, where he recovered. The widow's son was dead. And not only dead, he was on his way to his cemetery plot to be interred. His mother, already a widow, grieved and cried most terribly. Others followed, sharing in her grief, but were not able to bring her any comfort. And then it happened. Did you see it? Then it happened. That's when the encounter with death occurred. Death has an encounter with Christ. And death is no match for the Lord of life. It says Jesus had compassion on her. The word behind compassion there means he felt it deep in his gut. He felt her sorrow. He felt her pain. But unlike the others who accompanied her, Jesus could bring her comfort and could bring her hope. Jesus would conquer death. Young man, I say to you, arise, and life return to his body. And the man sat up and began to speak. I wonder what he was talking about. I certainly hope he was praising God and giving thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus returned him to his mother. And it's hard for us to imagine the change in the life that Jesus suddenly brought to that mother when she had lost all hope. And of course, the change in the life he brought into that man, wow, we have not seen that. The people exclaimed when they saw this, God has visited his people. I feel a few of them said, our Savior is here and now. Now, all the miracles that Jesus did were for the purpose of teaching us about his ministry and mission and the kingdom of God. Death to life miracles were some of the greatest teaching of all. He wanted to help people understand what the Lord of life has complete mastery over death. Because he lives, we shall live also. He wanted us to understand what was happening on the spiritual level by giving us a physical representation. It's hard to see the spiritual at times, but we can certainly see that physical action going on. That young man isn't the only one to experience the touch of Jesus. That young man isn't the only one to whom God has given life and beaten death. When we have our times of doubting God's ability, when we doubt what God desires to do in the world through us, we have forgotten what he has already done to you, to each of us, when we were dead. Dead. Not ill, dead. When Jesus encountered us, our souls, our spiritual selves, were not just sick, they were stone cold dead. And not just stone cold dead, But as we learn from St. Paul, our hearts and all were even turned to be hostile toward God. Worse than physical death. Yet with a touch, we were raised from the dead. We were brought back to life. With a word, Jesus gave us life, and not mere mortal life. I mean, have you ever thought that young man would die again? Yuck. I wouldn't want to do that twice. But eternal life is what we are given. Life, spiritually, that does not end. And not just eternal life, but life with Christ, life in His kingdom, which lasts for eternity. Jesus encountered death on the cross, and that's where He defeated it. He took our sin, our guilt, our judgment, all of that we are by nature, original sin, on Himself. He went in our place to that cross. He suffered there and died in our place to free us from our sin and from death and from the power of the devil. But death could not hold the Christ. Jesus rose victorious over death and the grave and the devil once for all for you and for me. And that Jesus touches us with His gift of life and forgiveness, grace and salvation. Do you remember that touch? Most of us don't, really, because we were baptized as infants. Right there. He put His hand on you and He called you by name and said, "I say to you, arise. I give you life." And at that moment, death was defeated. And by the grace of God, you, once dead in soul, now lived. Jesus raised you and all believers from spiritual death to eternal life. And He has done the same for every Christian who has ever lived. And He will continue to do the same for every soul He calls until He closes this world. So if our God can do this, is there anything He cannot do? Is there any doubt we can put before Him where we see Him defeated? Is there anything in the heights of heaven or the bowels of hell or walking around on our world today that can stop our God? Jesus' hands have touched all of us. We have heard His voice spoken to us in baptism. We have heard Him teach us His word and feed us His body and blood with the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the sacramental meal. But listen closely. He has done this by using other people's hands and other people's voices. And working through other people's lives. Now, some of these that spring to your mind, of course, are your faithful pastors. Past and present. The one you have now. But Jesus has also touched you and spoken to you and hugged you through faithful parents. Grandparents, brothers, sisters, children, friends, and strangers. Through all these believers, Jesus touches and gives life today. This is why our Savior can celebrate 125 years of life-giving ministry. And this is why you can look to the future with hope, joy, and confidence that it is God's desire to keep giving life by His word and sacrament through the hands of His people. That is why Christ came into the world, and that's why He sends us and plants us in our congregations around these areas. This is the only future of our Savior or of any Christian congregation that is worthy of celebration, worthy of strive. This place that altar, that font, the scriptures, through these people gathered in this name, God gives life to a dead, to a crying world, to a hopeless world. He brings his life through you. So what would it matter if our Savior were not here anymore? There would be one less place for life to be found. There would be one less light of hope. There would be one less place where God would touch their lives and bring life. You may again be tempted to doubt, as we all are. After all, we're only one congregation. Does it really matter, Pastor? Well, that was only one young man brought back to life, wasn't it? But boy, did it make a difference to his mom. Did it make a difference to him? You bet it did. And your continued presence here will make all the difference to all those other sons and mothers. Yes, one at a time. It is a slow process sometimes, and it is hard. But it won't happen without you here. His hands, his feet, his mouth, his eyes, his ears, through which his Holy Spirit works. So celebrate what God has done for you here at our Savior for 125 years. Praise and thank him. Worship and adore him. But for what he will do through our Savior tomorrow morning and the next day and the day after that. A place and a people where God raises the dead and gives life. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life which is everlasting.